Welcome to Executive Leaders Radio. In this hour, you'll hear directly from our region's finest business leaders. Through each of the interviews, these high-achieving leaders become relatable role models who share how they were able to build their enterprise, their personal secrets of success, about leadership styles and opportunities that lie ahead. Prepare to be inspired and entertained and to hear wisdom unheard elsewhere. Executive Leaders Radio.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the Arlington Chamber of Commerce. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Les Smolin Vistage. Tom Dunlap, Dunlap, Bennett, and Ludwig, Tim Myers, Baker Tilly, Mike Rosnow, Arlington Chamber of Commerce are my co-hosts. And Les, will you please give us a rundown on who we have on the show with us today?
Sure. We got Matt Kennedy, CEO and President of Summit Technologies and Solutions, Stephanie Olson, Partner, FHH, Jennifer Mulchandani, President, Arlington Strategy, and Joe McDermott, CEO, Keeper Staffing.
Excellent. Let's get to know our first guest, Matt Kennedy, CEO and President of Summit Technologies and Solutions. Matt, what is Summit Technologies and Solutions?
Summit is a services company that does federal government work, where we are a hub zone company, which stands for Historically Underutilized Business Zone, which means we are located in an underutilized, economically developed area. And we,
cool. Where are you from originally?
I am from Scranton, Pennsylvania.
And how many brothers and sisters are there?
I have a younger brother, two older sisters, and one younger sister.
So you're the middle of five?
I am.
Uh-huh. What was the effect growing up in Scranton, being the middle of five?
The effect of Scranton wasn't much. Scranton is a small town, very big on sports. Mm-hmm. I happen to play sports.
What kind of sports did you play?
I played football and baseball.
Uh-huh. What was the common role you played on those teams?
On the football team, I was the quarterback and the captain. On the baseball team, I was the pitcher and the captain as well.
So you naturally lead teams?
I have naturally led teams my whole life, yes.
Did you tell us you got some sort of an award when you were a kid as the pitcher?
As a Little League player at the age of 12, they awarded a sportsmanship award, which went to the Little League player demonstrating the best sportsmanship, and I was awarded that as a 12-year-old.
What's sportsmanship? What are you talking about?
It's knowing how to win and knowing how to lose and having grace and respect for your both your own teammates and teammates on the other side.
So you're on one hand, you're the captain of these teams, and you also got the sponsorship award, so you didn't make anybody feel bad if they lost. How's that affecting your build of this organization known as Summit Technologies and Solutions?
It is directly related, as the business that I run today is premised on employee satisfaction and treating your employees with respect and letting them know that, you know, as a services industry, your employees are your number one asset. And if they're not treated like that, they won't perform to their highest level. And if they don't perform to their highest level, us as a company is not going to grow. Mm-hmm. And as
gotcha.
A businessman, business is about growing.
Tom and Tim, what kind of questions you guys got?
So, Matt, do you think it's important or in any way connected that you were the captain of teams and that you now run a company that is sort of dispersed and it seems like it's made up of teams? Is there any connection there?
Absolutely. Sports, to me, was a huge indicator of what I was going to do in life. I'd always been interested in building a team around me and making the team be better through leadership and through getting everybody on the same page, and I use that every day in my business.
Didn't you tell us, though, that there was some stuff going on at home when you were a kid and you learned a couple lessons from it? What was that all about?
Sure. My family, like any family, I think we had our issues, and there were certain things that I was forced into doing at an earlier age than others my age might have wanted to be, and you know, my parents didn't always get along great, and sometimes they weren't always both there. So when my father wasn't there, I was kind of forced into a role of leadership.
Why wasn't your father there?
He and my mom had issues. My father was basically an alcoholic, and he didn't work as hard as he should have. It forced my mom to work.
How young were you when you started making money?
Excuse me?
How young were you when you started making money?
I was actually 11 years old. I had a paper route when I was 11.
And what was the benefit of that paper route in your relationship with your father?
Well, one of the things I did learn from my dad, I learned a lot of things from my dad, but one thing I learned was that you got to work hard because he didn't always work hard. So I used him as maybe something that I used as an incentive not to be.
Did you tell us that you used to get your father up to deliver the papers with you?
Yeah, we had to do the papers at 5 o'clock on a Sunday morning, and many a times I would get up earlier, about 4 o'clock, because it would take me an hour to get my dad to get out of bed to be able to take me to deliver the papers.
Where does heart come from?
I think I was just naturally born with a competitive edge that failure was never an option.
I asked about heart. Where'd the heart come from?
The heart comes from being in a family where you had to look out for one another, and I had to take over some things at a young age, and just being of the belief that
I'm not so sure you had to take him over. It sounds to me like you took on that responsibility. Tim, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm looking at that nurturing environment that you were trying to create inside your own family. How did that affect where you are today and what you're doing today?
I think it's directly related. Again, I think if you treat people the way that they want to be treated and the way they deserve to be treated, they will want to perform for you in a better way, and that's how you are successful in business.
You've been recognized for that as well, haven't you?
I have been, yes. My employees are always suggesting that their tenure with Summit Technologies is the best company they've ever worked for, which to me means more than any money I'll ever make or any awards I'll ever get.
So like a sportsmanship award?
Absolutely.
From your company?
Yeah, Matt, you also said something earlier. When you were 13 years old, you really were the first son, and you took on that dominant role in the family among all your brothers and sisters. That's when you said you kind of stepped up and became in charge. But what did you mean by that, and how does that show up today?
My parents, basically, they would have fights, and at one point they were fighting, and I was there, and I told them that they needed to stop the nonsense, and my dad should just leave. And so he did, and that then put me in a position where I was the oldest son and the man of the house at 13, and so I was forced at that point to take over a lot of responsibilities because I felt like I had forced them to kind of split, because I told them I was sick of the nonsense and sick of the childishness, and if they wanted to raise kids that were going to be independent and able to see what was and was not a correct way to live, that they needed to get away from each
other. How did you know that?
Yeah.
And where'd that courage come from?
Again, I don't know that that there was an epiphany that just something hit me in the head and said, oh, this is what is the right thing to do. I just had a sense of what was right and what was wrong, and that was not right.
How's that affect your building the business, that sense of right and wrong?
I think it's an important issue to treat people the way they deserve to be treated. And if you don't do that, people will know that. People are smart. Just because we're the CEOs or the presidents doesn't mean we're smarter than anybody that works for us. It just means that we've worked hard enough and are fortunate enough to get to a position that we can have an effect on people's lives, and I think we should do it in the right way.
So we have, I understand Carla's here with you, your wife.
She's also a reason.
And I'd like to know, who considering, you know, the sense of reason, who wears the pants in the family at home, you or your wife?
I do.
You do. And is he a good buddy at home? I mean, does he take responsibility around the house?
He does. He pretends to be this big, scary grizzly bear, but deep down, he's a really good guy.
What's he really good at around home? I mean, with the kids, what's he good at doing? I mean, is he good at cleaning the house? Is he good with the kids, mowing the lawn?
He's good at keeping emotions under control. Mm-hmm. When everybody is in this big chaotic, you know, frenzy, he says, okay, let's look at this logically. What is the solution? How do we get there? It doesn't matter who started it, and, you know, how do we fix it?
How long have you guys been married?
15 years.
Does it feel like a good relationship?
Yes, I think it's a very healthy relationship.
Does he talk, what do you mean by a healthy relationship?
He makes me feel like my needs and my wants are more important than his are.
I wonder if he's are you like that at the office also, where you're helping your people appreciate that you value them?
Yeah, I think, like I said, I'm fortunate. I've been dealt some very good cards in life, and I look around me every day and think, wow, we're lucky. We live in a great country. We live in a place where you have opportunities to really excel. And the fact that I've been given that opportunity and I can influence and affect other people is the best part of being a CEO.
It sounds to me like you could have been complaining that you got dealt bad cards, you know, with mom and dad arguing all the time and dad an alcoholic.
No, I look at other people's lives and I realize that, look, there's dysfunction in every household. None of us sitting at this table have any less experiences than the other as far as dysfunction is concerned. We're lucky.
You know, I understand that, you know, I read the newspapers and I know that, you know, with businesses, blood and guts, and if somebody doesn't do their job, you just get rid of them, you fire them. But do you ever get personally involved with your employees, with your teammates?
Absolutely. It's a services industry, and we're only as good as the services we provide. And so I help, you know, I have a background in law, my previous life before I did this, and my employees are always asking me for free legal help. And when it's time to...
Yeah, but how about emotional support? Do you do that as well? And have you lent them money?
Well, you have to be careful on where you lend your emotional support in as a business. I have to remember to draw the line.
It's your nature to go ahead and do that, isn't it?
It is. So that's why I've got some checks on me.
Tell me, what's the website address for this organization known as Summit Technologies and Solutions?
Summit-TS.com.
Let me have that one more time.
Summit-TS. T as in Tom, mm-hmm. S as in Sam, .com.
And real quick, what's the similarity between being a dad and being the CEO? Real quick.
Being a dad is the most awesome job in the world. And it's not a job, but being a CEO is also the most awesome job in the world. You get to have an effect on people and shape their lives.
Matt Kennedy, CEO and President of Summit Technologies and Solutions, back in a moment right after this break. And your name is?
Jane Woodruff.
And Jane, what organization are you with?
I work with Dunlap, Bennett, and Ludwig.
And what is Dunlap, Ludwig, and Bennett? What kind of stuff do they do?
Dunlap, Bennett, and Ludwig does business law. They do intellectual property, government contracting as well.
Mm-hmm. And what's your role in that firm?
So I do all the client services and a little bit of marketing.
What do you mean client services and marketing? What are you talking about?
basically, I help all of our new clients as they come in, figure out exactly what services they need, what direction they need to be going in as far as attorneys and,
So you're good at listening to people. You're really good at figuring out what they need and where things fit.
Exactly.
What do you like about your job? What do you enjoy about your job?
I enjoy connecting people with exactly what they need and knowing that they are in great hands.
So you're like the master matchmaker. When somebody comes into the firm, you sort of like know which attorney is really good at doing what and where the personalities are going to click. And you're sort of like matching them up.
Exactly.
So it's not preparing brochures or making the website pretty. Maybe you're involved
with that.
Well,
it's that
too. It's that as well. But it's really the matchmaking. It's the people piece of it.
Yes.
So
absolutely.
You get to know all the attorneys and you get to know the clients. And then when the clients have different kinds of needs, you're helping them fit together.
Yep, that's it.
How long have you been doing this for?
I've been doing this for, it'll be a year in May.
And what's the best part of it all?
The best part is talking to clients, I think, after they've first met with their attorney. And they're just at peace, and they just have a great sense of trust and the authenticity of the relationship that they're building.
Wow. So you're staying involved to make sure that everybody's happy.
Of course.
It's not just take somebody's money and run. What's the website address of this organization?
DBLlawyers.com.
Let me have that one more time.
D is in Dunlap, B, Bennett, Ludwig, lawyers.com.
And your name again is?
Jane Woodruff.
This has been your Business Spotlight. And your name is?
Kirsten Holmes.
And Kirsten, what organization are you with?
Keepers Staffing.
And what does Keepers Staffing do?
So we are a staffing agency providing talent acquisition.
What's that mean? What are you talking about?
For our clients, we fill positions for them or provide temporary assistance.
So you're helping businesses get people.
We are.
Uh-huh. How do you know what a business needs?
That goes with meeting our clients. We believe in face-to-face meetings, conversations, digging deep.
So you're meeting with your clients?
Yep, I am.
And when you're talking with them, do they always know what they need?
No.
So you're helping them define what they need?
Yes.
And sometimes is what they need, what they think they need, a little different than what you think they need?
Yes.
Do you tell them that?
I do. Uh-huh. Actually, I do.
So you want to make sure you're clear before you get a job order.
Yes, absolutely.
And then what do you do?
Well, we create that business relationship with them. We're really matchmakers, if you will, trying to find them the talent that they're looking for to make their lives easier.
Mm-hmm. So then you're going through databases and making calls and doing all that. Or actually, it's your people that are doing that, right?
Yeah, my team. Yep.
So what's your role in the business?
I am the manager of the branch in Alexandria.
So let's see. So you're meeting with clients and you're also helping the recruiters recruit.
Yep, I do that as well.
So you've got a clever side to you. You know all the tricks of the trade.
I guess you can say that.
What's the best part of your job?
Really, the people. I love my team. Being a leader is very important to me.
What's the best part about being a leader? What do you like about leading?
I really like being that motivator, for my team and for our associates, which is our staff.
Well, that's interesting. So you're not yelling and screaming at people, huh?
No.
What's the website address of this organization?
It's keepersstaffing.com.
Let me have that one more time.
Keepersstaffing.com.
And your name is?
Kirsten Holmes.
And this has been your Business Spotlight. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Les Smolin, Vistage, Tom Dunlap, Dunlap, Bennett, and Ludwig, Tim Myers, Baker Tilly, and we would like, Michael Rosenau, Arlington Chamber of Commerce. We'd like to introduce Stephanie Olson, partner of FHH. Stephanie, what is FHH?
FHH is a full-service law firm located in Virginia. We have, I head up the acquisition group, the corporate transactional group.
So you're an attorney, and you help businesses buy and sell themselves?
I help businesses basically get ready for the next step. So I work with middle market companies that have sort of focused on their core business and then are ready for the next step. So I help them either clean up or finance.
Interesting. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Poughkeepsie, New York.
How many brothers and sisters?
I have one older sister.
How much older?
She's 3 years older than I am.
And what would describe you between the ages of 8 and 14 years old?
I was shy. I grew up always wanting to be less shy and always wanting to be able to walk into a room and get into the middle of everything. And that was a challenge for me.
Mm-hmm. And how did that show up? Give me an example of how that showed up. And you were mentioning some stuff happened in sports.
Well, I think I started to figure out how to get from A to P or A to Z a little bit faster than going through each of the steps. And I played soccer, and I was a mediocre player probably. Mm-hmm. And one day before a game, there was no goalie, and I agreed. I was like, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. So I would jump into lots of situations that I probably wasn't that well prepared for, but my resourcefulness and my will took me the rest of the way.
I was going to say, you've got guts and courage. How did those guts and courage, putting yourselves in circumstances that were a little difficult, like playing the goalie for the soccer team, how's that showing up? How's that help you in your legal practice with merger and acquisition stuff?
Well, I think it helps me because I'm okay outside my comfort zone, and I'm okay and experienced in, you know, being in a new situation, evaluating it quickly. I think quickly. I'm flexible and fluid, and I think that
those are those personality traits that would help an M&A attorney really succeed. Tim, what do you think?
When you were playing soccer and you took over as the goalie position, that was kind of jumping into the middle of the toughest position on the field. You know, today you play a little bit of a different role. Was that more of a referee, the goalie, or a marriage counselor?
I have to say I really am quite fluid. It really can be quite circumstance-based, which role I play. I think each deal, each client, each child, I have 5 kids, all require something different at different times. And so, again, with recognizing what the situation is and what I can bring to the table to, make it a better experience or make it a win-win situation. I'm very much after the win-win.
Are you more like your mom or your dad, and what do you mean?
That's tough. I think I have a lot of both of their traits. I would say that in terms of a thinker, I'm much more like my dad, who's an engineer and more of a mathematician and in my logic and logical progression.
Mom?
My mom is extremely nurturing. She's got strong values. She's unfailingly dependable. And
Where's nurturing fit into merger and acquisition legaling?
Well, I think I have to look at not just what are the financial deal terms, but, where are we going with this? What is the big picture? What is right for you? What feels like, you can take it to this next level and...
Oh, wait a minute. How important is your intuition in merger and acquisition law? How important is your intuition?
It's very important, I would say.
Touchy-feely stuff's important with business?
It is. I think that, at this point in my career, it's been... my legal training, my business training, my experience, but also just the wisdom I have from having been there and understanding and trying to find a connection.
Mr. Dunlap, what do you got? What are you thinking?
So in terms of how you've changed from when you were younger and you became that soccer goalie,
right.
Do you think that was part of the impetus to become an M&A attorney, or do you think it was, do you think it's somehow related?
I do. I think that, you know, as I said, I sort of like to give into the moment and be involved in the chaos. I think better when there's a lot of things going on, and I think that, you know, I like to have a lot of things going on. I feed off of other people's energy. I think I feed off of other people's ideas. I'm very collaborative, and so, you know, I like all of that. And in M&A, you're going in 1,000 different directions. Every deal's different, and every client's different. So I think that I like.
Mr. Myers, what are you thinking again?
Going back to the soccer analogy and where you are today with working with mostly entrepreneurs, I would suspect.
Yes.
I think about the nurturing and concepts necessary to get somebody to separate themselves from something they built over many years. How important is that kind of early life experiences that you had in helping those entrepreneurs deal with that process?
Well, I think it's, you know, again, getting out of your comfort zone, not only to trust somebody else, but trust their judgment. You know, people know what they know, and they're not always, you know, I'm an advisor, so that I help them get to where they don't know how to get without their advisor's assistance. And so building trust is important, and, you know, helping them, holding their hand or pushing them or whatever it takes.
Stephanie, you mentioned that you have 5 kids.
I do.
What have you learned from your kids that have helped you in business?
I've learned to manage chaos, and I've learned to do it with a smile and laughter, because, you know, nothing goes exactly as planned. I mean, it just doesn't. And so it's kind of like improv. Like, you just have to say yes to whatever's come to you and make the most of it going forward. And
so you're telling me at home with 5 kids and a husband, you got, you know, things are happening and you can't necessarily control all the details, and that's actually broken you in for your legal business career?
Definitely. I mean, I've taken, you know, I take things from where they are, and, you know, you can't go backwards, can only go forwards. Mm-hmm. And so
for some reason, Tim's smiling. Tim, what are you smiling about? What do you appreciate about
thinking
this?
Thinking about all the kids in a M&A deal, the emotions that are involved in an M&A deal versus just the rules. I mean, when you look at running a house with 5 kids and then running a deal with a bunch of entrepreneurs, is, you know, is there similarities, and how much of it's rules and how much of it's emotion?
Stephanie's smiling now too.
Oh, well, very often I am just, you know, I have to be the mom in the deal sometimes because I need to go home to be the mom to
That's
the kids.
That's the line that I was waiting for.
Right. So, you know, it's herding cats. It's there are times when I had one deal. I was actually the 4th lawyer that worked on it because nobody could deal with this
client. Get control of it, yeah.
And so I said, listen, we're not leaving this room. We're just not. Because if we do leave this room, I'm not going to do this anymore. I was so tired of it. And we stayed in that room for like 12 hours. I was like, we're doing this. So sometimes just putting your foot down, and it was painful. It was horribly painful.
Mm-hmm.
But we got it done, and it was a triumph. And sometimes...
Give us an idea in your childhood of some time where you had to do the same thing. An early indicator of this personality trait of yours.
Sometimes I would, when I was younger, and still now, you know, I still am that shy girl, but I think that I have been an advocate either for myself or for somebody else. And I remember being on a school bus. This is a very pivotal moment for me. And I listened to these 2 older girls bully this other girl. They were all older than I was. They would tease her and say so many mean things. And I had never planned on saying anything. And one day I just stood up and I was like, why do you bother her so much? She's just sitting there. And that was a really empowering moment, by just standing up and saying, you know, just say no. It's not okay.
Yeah, it sounds to me like it's the same thing that happened with the goalie. You just stepped up to the plate. You know, it sounds to me like you've got this courage thing going on, and you're willing to speak your mind, like, okay, we're going to stay in this room until the deal gets done. What's the website address for FHH?
It is fhhfirm.com.
Let me have that one more time.
FHHfirm, FIRM.com.
We've been speaking with Stephanie Olson, partner of FHH, here on Executive Leaders Radio, back in a moment right after this break. And your name is?
Jeff Lawson.
And Jeff, what organization are you with?
I'm with Lakota Hotels and Resorts.
And what do you guys do? What kind of stuff are you doing that's special?
Well, we manage conference centers and hotels, and we're currently managing the National Conference Center in Leesburg, Virginia.
National Conference Center. How large or how small is this organization?
The conference center itself is 900 rooms in size, 350,000 square feet of meeting space, dining facilities for 850, exercise facility all set on 61 acres of land.
Wow, this is a large organization, isn't it?
It is, very large.
Uh-huh. And what's your role in the organization?
I'm the general manager, and I have oversight of the property and all the hospitality services that occur.
Well, what's the general manager supposed to do with this large facility?
Make sure I have eight executive committee members and a full staff of 210 do their daily jobs.
So how many folks do you have running through your halls on a weekly basis or daily basis or annual basis? What's that look like?
Well, on a weekly basis, on a full house, we'll have 900 per night, 7 nights, 6,300, which translates to about 20,000 meals a week.
Wow. And your job, are you working 9 to 5, or do you end up having to work evenings and early mornings and weekends and stuff like that?
No, I'd say I'm always on duty.
Uh-huh. What do you enjoy about your job?
Meeting people, working with some of the finest hospitality people in Virginia, which is my team, and meeting our clients. They're wonderful.
So you're helping your clients plan their events?
Well, we help plan. They are there for some form of education that goes on at one end of our business, and at the other end of our business, they're there for social catering events, weddings and such.
So you're running a 24/7 facility, aren't you?
We are.
Uh-huh. What's the website address of this organization?
Conferencecenter.com.
Let me have that again.
Conferencecenter.com.
And your name again is?
Jeff Lawson.
And the name of the organization?
Lakota Hotels and Resorts.
And this has been your Business Spotlight.
This is John Schuhart. Joining us for our business spotlight is Barry File. Who are you with, Barry?
I'm with Celebrate Fairfax, a 501c3 nonprofit in Fairfax, Virginia.
And what do you do with Celebrate Fairfax?
I am very fortunate to be the president and CEO of the organization.
So what does Celebrate Fairfax do?
We have a mission to celebrate Fairfax County and its communities. We serve the 1.1 million people who live in the county as well as all the people who visit and work there.
So what do you enjoy about working at Celebrate Fairfax?
It is the best job in the world. It is. We come to work every day, my team and I, and we get to prepare and plan and produce events for 75,000, 100,000 people, and we treat them like, we think of them like they're our friends. So we get to come in and just plan great events for them.
What makes those events so special?
We try to be unique within this region especially, but we're always trying to stretch the envelope of what people expect from events. People go to events because they want to have great experiences. And for us, we are always trying to give them that return on investment because they're not giving us necessarily a lot of money when they come to our event, but they are giving us their time and their energy, and that's an important thing. People want that ROI back.
So did you ever think you'd be doing this when you were a kid?
No, never. I think that when I was a kid, I was building things, designing things, and somewhere along the line, I fell into events and realized that it was a natural extension for me, that I just loved producing things.
So what was it about being a kid that led you to this?
I think that it was just the challenges that were there. I always tried to figure out solutions to problems that didn't exist, and that's what we do now. It's the same principle.
So when did you first start overcoming big challenges as a kid?
I think I always was. I think that I lived in a household with two older kids, parents who had their own things going on, and I think for me, I just always tried to find my own way.
What's your website?
Our website is celebratefairfax.com.
This is John Schuhart, and this has been your Business Spotlight.
And your name is?
Ramon Parker.
And Ramon, the name of the organization?
Loudoun Free Clinic.
And you were telling me there's something special about the Loudoun Free Clinic, where every dollar that goes in does something else. What was that all about?
Yeah, it does something magical. So for every dollar that's donated to our clinic, we can deliver $8 worth of care.
And what kind of clinic is this? Who are you helping out? What kind of stuff do you guys do?
So we're helping out those who are 18 to 64 who are uninsured and low income, 200% or below the federal poverty level.
And give me this thing about the math again. Give me how that works.
So essentially, I have a staff of 12 individuals and 128 volunteers. So with that kind of payer mix, I'm able to deliver, anywhere from $8 in care for our patients.
Because you've been able to enroll the support of so many volunteers, you're actually keeping the cost of health care down and therefore multiplying the dollars.
And making one of the best business investments for private corporations who want to invest.
And didn't, interesting. So private businesses and individuals can get involved. And didn't you
Absolutely.
Tell me you had a couple of health care challenges yourself? What were they?
I have. I've had 4 open heart surgeries, and mm-hmm. it helps me to understand what patients need.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
So the idea of having been on the table or being a patient, I'm able to take a patient focus in how we deliver care differently than most people would.
What did you learn from those experiences personally? What do you appreciate that most of us don't?
I appreciate consistency. I think that a staff at the hospital, nurses, providers, mm-hmm. parents, mm-hmm. family, all those people consistently being around me and consistently offering me hope. I'm so full of it that I have to offer that to the patients and to the staff when I'm working with them.
What's the website address for the Loudoun Free Clinic?
LoudounFreeClinic.org.
Let me have that one more time.
LOUDOUN FreeClinic.org.
We've been speaking with your name again?
Ramon Parker.
And this has been your Business Spotlight.
Thank you.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Les Smolin, Vistage, Mike Rossin, Arlington Chamber of Commerce, Tom Dunlap, Dunlap, Bennett, and Ludwig, and Tim Myers, Baker Tilly. I'd like to introduce Jennifer Mulchandani, who is the president of Arlington Strategy. Jennifer, what is Arlington Strategy? What are you guys doing?
We are a comprehensive marketing and communications firm for small businesses and nonprofit organizations.
All right, so you're helping businesses get the word out and get customers and create positive impressions. And where are you from originally?
A little town outside of Detroit, Michigan called mm-hmm. Oak Park.
How many brothers and sisters?
I've got two older brothers and a mm-hmm. younger sister.
So you're the third of four?
I am.
Uh-huh. What was the effect of that?
I got to play the role of little sister, but then also oldest child when my brothers aged out of the house.
Ooh. So you got to be little sister and give me a sense of what that did to you. What did you learn from that, from both of those experiences tied into one?
I could see all sides. I've been beat up upon, and I also got to kind of control some stuff.
So you've learned about people. You've learned about dynamics. Is that one of the reasons you're pretty effective in your marketing, because you understand the wide variety of people because you got raised third or four?
I think it was my first foray into audience differentiation, as knowing what you had to say to each person.
Perfect. Yeah. Give us an example, something that happened 8 to 14 that was pivotal in your life.
It sticks out like it was yesterday. My dad took me to a Mondale Ferraro campaign rally, and I saw Geraldine Ferraro, and I thought, I am going to be a woman leader. I'm going to be president one day.
Wait a minute. How old were you?
It was middle school. Call it 12.
So what did you do 14. About that? What did you do?
I went back to the middle school and volunteered to be the mock campaign chairman for the school, and had to go around and give campaign speeches from class to class to class.
So you went ahead and you organized the other kids, mm-hmm. and you, what's that have to do with starting a business?
Starting a business is all about building a team and building a community and making your case. And
same kind of stuff, huh?
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Tim, what are you thinking?
Yeah, so looking back at that era, being 12 years old and looking at the government world, how did that convert into being an entrepreneur and running a business today?
I really thought that I was going to go into government and change the world, and set my path that way, and realize that there's many, many ways to make an impact in the community. And I think small business is a really wonderful tool to make change in your community. So mm-hmm. for me, entrepreneurship was really about filling a need that I saw unmet in my neighborhood originally, and that morphed into wanting to help other small businesses mm-hmm. Meet their needs. So we're very mission driven in that way.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Dunlap, what are you thinking?
So how do you tie it together, wanting to be a political strategist when you were younger, mm-hmm. seeing Geraldine Ferraro, to being the president of Arlington Strategy? How do you, what is it that your company does now that's similar to what you might have done as a political strategist had you chosen a different path at that age, perhaps?
I mean, I think it's all about communication. And to me, communication is all about knowing people and knowing what people need and making sure that if you've got something that's going to fit that need, that you're able to convince them. Mm-hmm. So,
Mr. Dunlap, what else are you thinking there?
Well, so going back though to the same question of why you became the mock campaign chairman. So you went from classroom to classroom giving speeches, but you were the mock campaign chairman. You weren't the candidate, right? You were the person
right.
who was strategizing
yep.
and putting people together and coming up with ways to do things. Mm-hmm. How is that similar to what you do today? In fact, is that what you do today?
I equip my clients. My firm equips our clients to do that. So it's coming up with salient points.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that you started a business that's doing the same kind of stuff that you did way back then, where you don't need to be the star. You're helping the stars.
Yeah, I don't want to be the star. I want to be a change agent.
Isn't that what the agency is?
That's our goal, yeah.
Well, it sounds to me like on one hand, maybe you never grew up.
I've heard that before.
Oh, Les?
Yeah, I want to go back to something you said earlier in the green room about 14-year-old. Again, put this in the context of this Mondale and Ferraro rally that you went to. You came out of it feeling empowered. Mm-hmm. What's a 14-year-old empowered person do when they walk in a store and want a job? Can you tell us about that story?
Oh, yeah. What happened at 14?
Yeah. This is back before the big box office stores. I loved this little store. It was so chaotic inside, and they had pens of every color. And I said, can I have a job here?
Wait. You were 14 years old, and you walked in and asked for a job?
Yep.
What'd they say?
He said, sure.
And then what happened?
I had to go get my job permit, and I started working after school.
What did they hire you to do?
A front-end customer service.
And what did you end up doing?
I helped their business.
How? What did you get involved with doing?
You know, I was a little grown-up back then, and I upsold their clients to higher quality pens and paper. And
wait. You were hired to do some backroom stuff, and you ended up working, selling in customer service and generating customers and helping sell more to the customers?
Absolutely.
You know what? You're built for this role. It says here that you're the president of Arlington Strategy, which is basically a specialized marketing firm. You were doing that when you were 14, working for that store.
I was.
Uh-huh. And it doesn't sound like most kids would do that. They'd go hide in the back room, but you're helping sell more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You also told us earlier that you had a job as a babysitter when you were 12.
Yes.
Uh-huh. What did you do different than other babysitters?
I saved my money.
And then what?
I lent my money.
To who?
Mostly my siblings, who... didn't have good money management skills at the time.
So you would lend the money, then you had to do collections as well?
Well, yeah. I made interest on it, so.
So it's
what'd you charge?
I don't remember.
No, I'm afraid they asked a question. Do they still talk to you, by the way?
They do. Uh-huh. They do.
Are they surprised that your brothers and sisters, is your family surprised that you ended up being the president, the founder of Arlington Strategy?
No, I think they very much expected this.
They did. It certainly sounds like there are a lot of early indicators here. What's the best part of your job?
I think being out in the community and meeting business owners and folks who run organizations.
Does it feel like a job? Do you feel like you work?
No, I feel like I get to go play every day.
So what time do you start with your emails in the morning, honestly?
Honestly?
Yeah.
7:30, 8.
Is
but
not before then?
No.
What time do you stop at night?
I'm pretty good about stopping at night. I have a family.
What time?
6:30.
Uh-huh. How about the weekends? Do you work weekends?
I do work weekends.
Uh-huh. And you're telling me it doesn't feel like work?
No.
Why not?
Because I get to do what I want to do. And it's I get to take a break in the day and volunteer at nonprofits. And I get to attend leadership trainings in my community. And I get to... be involved in a way that I don't think I could.
I thought the whole idea about running
job.
Your own business is making a lot of money. It doesn't sound to me like that's your motivation, huh?
You know, making money is important. Being able to take care of myself or my family is important. But for me, this is about making an impact.
What are you talking about?
What am I talking about?
Yeah, what do you mean it's about making an impact? Well, on what? On who? On doing
I think what? That I think that I'm in a very unique place that I can use my position as a business owner and a community leader to inspire others and help help other businesses actually become more engaged in the community and play a role. So I think there's a definite community development.
Wait a minute. I read the newspapers and I know that CEOs are money grubbers, and it doesn't sound to me like that's what you're talking about, though. You want to be inspiring?
Sure.
Yeah. Inspiring. Where'd that inspiring come from, mom or dad?
My mom inspired me in many ways.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, she had to go back to work at after never really working because they were getting a divorce. And she, you know, had to teach herself how to learn. And then when she was 60, she decided to go become an RN because that was her lifelong dream. So
how's that inspiring?
You can always do what you want to do.
Wow. Give me that again.
I think you can always do what you want to do.
Do you really believe that?
I, if you're committed to it, sure.
How'd you learn that? Your mom doing what?
Getting her nursing degree at age 60.
Uh-huh. So you think that you can do whatever you put your mind to, huh?
Well, I do think that, so it doesn't scare me from trying.
Uh-huh. When you're sitting down with clients, that's actually what your job is to try to help figure out how to create the future with and for them, isn't it?
It is.
Uh-huh. And when it comes to your team members, I mean, do you try to develop your team members, or do you just like fire them if they don't do their job?
No, my goal is really to develop my team so I can step back and develop the next.
Well, you know, I thought the game being the team leader is you get to dominate everybody and yell and scream at them.
No, not at all.
That's not the way you do things. You want to inspire them?
Right.
Oh, that's sort of interesting.
This sounds like that scrappy little kid you were describing as a child who's fearless, that just translated all that into what she does now. Your mom was scrappy.
Yeah, perhaps. Oh, she was very scrappy.
Yeah, it sounds to me like, are you a mom, by the way? You married or single?
I've got three kids and I'm married.
Uh-huh. What have they taught you about being a CEO and president?
I think it really is that you have to listen and you have to get people to weigh in and feel a part of something.
What's the website address for Arlington Strategy?
It is arlingtonstrategy.com.
arlingtonstrategy.com. We've been speaking with Jennifer Molchandani, president of Arlington Strategy, here on Executive Leaders Radio. And we'll be back in a moment right after this break. And your name is?
My name's Richard Bright.
And Richard, what's the name of your organization?
Bright Concepts.
And what is Bright Concepts? What do you guys do?
We're an association management company. We manage trade associations and consult to others, mainly in the sense of increasing revenue and sponsorship sales.
So you're helping your associations that you manage increase membership and increase revenues?
Absolutely.
And how long have you been doing this for?
Ooh, since 97, incorporated in 97.
97. And how'd you get involved with this business?
I came over from the UK in 91 and was sponsored by an organization back then to help them with their sponsorship sales and growth.
Why do your clients love you? What do they appreciate about you?
Trust. They trust that we're going to get the job done. Mm-hmm. And we've become very strong relationships with all of our clients, and we get them results. So I think that's why we're so special.
Interesting. What do you like about your job? What do you enjoy about your job?
You know, the people. I think the people we meet, and, you know, we're a not-for-profit organization. We work for not-for-profit, so it's partly the cause, too. So the people and the cause.
Wow, so you really enjoy your job, and you're helping these associations build their membership and build revenue. Do you help provide them a variety of services? Is that how you do it?
Oh, absolutely, and we're constantly looking to add new services and benefits to the organizations.
Huh. So you'll help them with their websites through everything?
Yeah, websites, communication, you know, heavy emphasis on meetings, conventions, trade shows for some. Depends on what their needs are and the type of organization.
So you really understand the formula of how an association can increase revenue and build membership.
We think so, yeah.
It's very fast. Interesting. What's the website address of your organization?
brightconcepts.net.
Let me have that one more time.
That's brightconcepts.net.
And we've been speaking with Richard Bright, president and founder of Bright Concepts. One, help building your business with help from this show's CEOs. Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money. All the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that. Succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that. Succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, or truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com to hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my guest, Joe McDermott, CEO of Keeper Staffing. Joe, what is Keeper Staffing? What do you guys do?
We work with clients mid-market, so they're under 500 employees total, and we find them the talent that they're looking for in a wide variety of different talents, skill sets.
So is this the first business you started?
No, this is the ninth business I've started.
And where are you from originally?
Washington, D.C.
How many brothers and sisters?
I have a brother, a younger brother, and then two sisters, one younger and one older.
And you're from D.C. And how young were you when you started your first business?
Eight.
Doing what?
Delivering the Washington Star. It was an evening star.
Didn't you tell us the truth, though, that you weren't necessarily doing delivering? You engaged some other folks to do that?
Yes.
Who were the other folks that you engaged at the age of eight to deliver the newspapers?
They were between the ages of 7 and 9.
Who were they?
Neighbors.
And so you actually engaged them. So you had to learn how to recruit them and how to select them and how to manage them. And you're doing this at 8 years old, huh?
Correct.
What was the next step in your entrepreneurial career?
The next step was selling hot dogs at the church functions. That was a big money maker for us.
All right, so you're sensitive to market, so you knew there was going to be a demand, and you decided to get involved with selling the hot dogs.
Correct.
Tell us what happened.
Well, again, I love transactions. I just think that's the neatest thing about business is you give me money, I give you services, and we all go away happy.
Or hot dogs, yes.
Or hot dogs in this particular case. So yeah. I saw that happening. I went behind the counter and started working there. Next thing I knew, I had some ideas of how we could go out and bring people into the stand and market and do all the kinds of things that I thought might be.
So you're the kind of guy that always has a better idea, huh? You're good at organizing. You're good at coming up with better ideas how to do things better and organizing people, as we found out with the newspaper route where you got other kids to do it, and now with the hot dog stand where you see better ways to get customers coming in.
I think that's absolutely the case,
yeah.
But I would clean it up to this degree. I don't think I've ever had an original thought in my entire life.
I don't know
I'm good at taking somebody else's thought. And then,
I don't think you're giving yourself enough credit there. Let's see. My co-host.
I agree with Herb. I mean, you had said something about this need to make more money, but you probably have enough money you could retire, couldn't you?
Yeah.
So it's not about the money. Why don't
you retire?
I'd be divorced.
Tell us about that.
What do you mean? The truth. Twice my wife has come to the backyard midway through my retirement and said, you go find something to do now.
So you like keeping yourself engaged.
I do.
All right. Let's see. My co-host, Tim. Tim, what are you thinking?
So you've had a job in the Navy. You talked a little bit about the Navy. Can you describe your promotion, early promotion in the Navy, and how you got it?
I'm so happy you said promotion. I basically wanted to find out the quickest way to advancement and therefore to a little bit more money. And so I ended up finding out the best job was to be in charge of all the food on a ship. Again, remember that that's all you do on a ship is eat. So I became very good friends with the captain. Everybody loved me. And
you're a natural marketer.
Yes.
That's amazing to me. All right, Tom, what are you thinking?
So how many jobs or businesses had you had or started by the time you were 14?
Three.
Oh, only three?
Yeah, only three.
They were all successful?
Yes.
And what was the central kind of joining factor? Were they all team-based businesses or were they solo businesses? Like what was common thread between the age of 8 and 14 with your business ventures?
Tom, I think you said it. You hit the nail on the head is I love working with people. I really am not good on my own. I get in trouble on my own, actually. So I'm much better working with people.
So at 8 or 9, you assembled teams of 7, 8, and 9-year-olds.
Yes.
And then at 12, you assembled teams of adults.
Yes.
And then by 14, what were you doing?
By the time I was 14, I ran. Again, this is an old people's drugstore, which don't exist anymore, and I ran their fountain, which did exist then. So, you know, I had people that worked for me, and they built milkshakes and hot fudge sundaes and hot dogs and hamburgers.
Well, hold for a second. You didn't own the store, but they worked for you. Did the boss realize that you were delegating as opposed to doing it yourself?
He did.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, he had a drinking problem, so... He would let me do whatever I wanted to do.
And you did. So you went ahead and ran the business.
Yeah, I ran the business, and he sat in a booth in the back.
So in many ways, you were doing staffing way back at age 14.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I love the people
business. Age 8 and age 10, you were staffing in every job you ever had.
Absolutely.
Right? Well, isn't every business staffing? If you like working with people, every business requires people, doesn't it?
No question about it. The largest headcount I ever had was 400 and some odd people, and they were all engineers.
What other kinds of businesses have you been involved with starting?
This was a computer, actually it was an integrated system support company.
Wait a minute, so you started a computer-related business, a hot dog business, a newspaper business, a staffing business. What's the common thread of all that stuff? People?
Yeah. Even with the hot dogs, that really wasn't the... main impetus of it.
What else did you start? What other kinds of businesses did you start?
Well, I couldn't hire enough engineers for my company, so I started a school. And I graduated 450 people, but I ended up hiring them all. So it wasn't a much of a moneymaker, I guess, you know. Mm-hmm. But so I had that. Then we started a company that refurbished. This is back when PCs were $4,000 and you could fix them.
Uh-huh.
And so we had I guess we did some international work too, but mostly a U.S.-based remanufacturing of PCs.
So one idea leads to the next. You're always thinking about new ideas. Where does creativity come from? Was it mom or dad?
Had to be mom.
What do you mean? Tell me more.
My dad was an accountant.
Mm-hmm.
No offense if anybody's an accountant here, but not the most creative human beings in the world. Mm-hmm. At least I don't think they're as creative they should be, but... Uh-huh. But mom was, everything was outside of the box.
Uh-huh. What do you mean? Give me an example.
She always had great ideas that somebody else ought to be doing.
Ah,
I see.
And not
the least bit afraid to tell them that. So I learned that, you know, there was a way to think about things that wasn't just what was in front of you.
Interesting. So your mom gave you the sense that there's other ways of seeing things and doing things.
Yes.
So what'd you get from dad that you bring to work every day? You get the creativity.
My dad was the kindest, most loving human being on the face of the earth.
What's that have to do with starting and building 9 businesses?
It really didn't, other than the people aspect of it.
Well, that's everything, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. My mom couldn't keep friends because she was so, you know, honest, if that's what you want to call it. I didn't think it was honest, but my dad did. I mean, he just was... kind, loving man.
Do you bring that sweetness and that kindness to work?
I don't know. Do I? They're saying yes.
Your people say yes. Yeah. That's what the key is.
I think you got to love them. Uh-huh. Why do you have them there if you're not going to love them, for God's sakes?
Mm-hmm. So you really enjoy your work.
I love my work.
What's the website address of Keeper Staffing?
KeeperStaffing.com.
We've been speaking with Joe McDermott, CEO of Keeper Staffing. Les, can you give us a rundown on who we've had the opportunity of speaking with today?
Sure. We had Matt Kennedy, CEO, President, Summit Technologies and Solutions, Inc. Stephanie Olson, Partner, FHH. Jennifer Mulchandani, President, Arlington Strategy, and Joe McDermott, CEO, Keeper Staffing.
I'd like to thank my co-hosts, Mr. Les Smolin, Vistage, Tom Dunlap, Bennett Ludwig, Tim Myers, Baker Tilly, and Mr. Mike Rossino, Arlington Chamber of Commerce, for giving me hand structure and the questions. Hope you're providing a listening audience an educational and entertaining show. Thank you for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to join us, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders, and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to Executive Leaders Radio, the region's premier radio show highlighting local executive leaders. We hope you've enjoyed the show here on 1500 AM. You can learn more about Executive Leaders Radio by visiting executiveleadersradio.com or tune in next time right here on 1500 AM. That's executiveleadersradio.com.